Welcome back to Your Political Playlist. I'm your host, Emily Tisch Sussman. Over about a month ago, President Biden announced his American Jobs Plan, that big infrastructure plan, and he tasked five cabinet secretaries to lead it. This week, I'm sitting down with one of them, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. As part of the Moms Run the World series for Parents Magazine, Secretary Raimondo took up her post as the 40th Secretary of Commerce just about a month and a half ago. Previously, she was the first female governor of Rhode Island, where she championed universal pre-K and free 2 years of community college for those who qualify. I know I'm not the only person Googling, what does a commerce secretary do right now? So today, we're diving in to figure out exactly how the commerce secretary and the American Jobs Plan will impact the economy and families like yours. Welcome, Secretary Raimondo.
Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, thank you so much for joining us. That looks very official where you are.
Yeah, anytime you sit in front of a flag, you look more official.
I hear that. That's a good tip. That's like a good Instagram live.
Yeah, if you're wanting to look official, clothe yourself in flag.
I'm actually here at my local Pilates studio, so I'm doing local business. I know that's one of the things that you have been talking a lot about.
Very much so. Very much so.
And I can't do these interviews from my house. My three kids are far too crazy. So thank you so much for joining us, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. So this is going to sound like maybe the silliest question you've answered today, but what exactly does the Commerce Secretary do?
It's a great question, and I'm still learning. I've only been in the job for a month and a half. It turns out a lot of different things. We deal with obviously helping small businesses to get back on their feet, provide them with capital, grants and loans, working with companies that want to export. A lot of our work is helping American companies export their goods to other countries so they can grow. We run the National Weather Service, which is obviously incredibly important to everyone's life every day. The census runs out of commerce, also incredibly important. So it's really across the board, it's a lot of different things that really matter in your daily life.
And as you've taken on this job of Commerce Secretary, you mentioned that it's pretty new, obviously new president in January, new administration after that. So it's been in the last couple of months. I mean, in the context for all of us who are here on the Parents Channel, and we think about the timing of that, of moving to a new job, moving to a new city, that's mid-school year. So what has that transition been for you and your family?
Yeah, it's such a good point. I have two teenagers. They're going to finish the school year in their current schools, which means mom has to do a lot of back and forth. But it's definitely worth it so they can stay settled, and then we'll transition over the summer as a family.
I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Like, we've all had to figure out how to balance all of it and have as little disruption for our kids as possible. Are there things
it's been a really disruptive year for kids overall. Mm-hmm. My kids have struggled like everyone with virtual school, not seeing their friends, not being able to play sports. It's been a rough year. So anything that makes it a little easier and more stable is worth doing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, are there things or sort of new traditions that you have found with your family during COVID that you think you might actually keep?
Well, it's funny you say that. My children are teenagers. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son. And one of the nice things has been having more time with them at home, like with school canceled and sports canceled and they can't hang out with their friends as much. We watch movies at home as a family. We've hung out more as a family. It's probably optimistic for me to think that they're going to continue to want to hang out with us, but I really hope that they do because it's been really great.
I think that also speaks very nicely of your kids. Like, I don't think my parents would have wanted to spend any more time with teenage me. So I think that I feel like that really speaks very nicely of your kids. So I want to talk to you about, in your role as Commerce Secretary, that you are one of the people that President Biden has put out, has really said, it is your job to help us pass this critical infrastructure that we need. So what are you out talking with the businesses about? I know that you just went and did a roundtable with women's small business. Like, what are those conversations like?
So you mentioned that last week, the vice president and I were in my home state of Rhode Island, and we talked to many small businesses, and we had a roundtable with female-owned small businesses. You know, the struggle is real. Businesses are really still struggling. Women are really struggling because a lot of childcare centers are still closed. It is hard to juggle a career and parenting, even if you have high quality, reliable childcare. To do it without high quality, reliable childcare is just overwhelming. Small businesses that had to close for much of last year are just getting back on their feet. So the president's, you know, the more I am out and about talking about the president's jobs package, the more committed I am to getting it passed, because there's so much, you know, struggle in America right now. The president knows that, and the package is big and bold, and it's what we need.
Can we get more into the details there? Like, what are some of the key things that, you know, the child care is obviously important for the parents, and also as employers, like as small businesses, so many of the child care centers that had to close are women entrepreneurs and workers who are there.
So can you
help us get into these details? Like, what exactly are you looking to help get parents back to work and help get child care?
Yeah. So there's a few components of the package around this. There's an expanded child care tax credit to put more money in families' pockets who have kids. Kids are expensive, as you know. There is family medical leave. So if you have a child or somebody gets sick, you can take time off. There's an investment in to bring about universal public pre-K. You know, part of the problem now is that you have this patchwork of small childcare providers, but it's kind of a fragile system. If it were public, like public school, kindergarten, first grade, if every three-year-old and four-year-old could have access to public pre-K, that would be a game changer, and that's what the president is calling for. So there are a number of different elements to the package that will really help families and help the economy. As you say, it's impossible to hold down a job if you don't have good childcare.
So it's really helpful to hear your thinking about what is a priority to President Biden and how the policies affect it. Like, I think it's hard for a lot of us to understand, like, when there's big policies, like, how does it actually impact our lives? And, you know, we kind of think about, like, who's at the table and who's making the decisions, but we don't always know how it really impacts. I'm very excited about the idea that, you know, that you as a commerce secretary, as a woman, there are a huge amount, I think an unprecedented amount of women in economist roles in this administration. So how does that really practically play out when you're looking at policy formulation?
It means that these issues of childcare, workforce development, universal pre-K stay front and center. So Secretary of Treasury is a woman and a mother. I, of course, am. The chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Dr. Cece Rouse, is a woman and a mother. Vice President Kamala Harris. These issues are just as important as any other issue. I will say the president's fantastic on these issues. You know, you have to remember, he was a single dad for a while. You know, for years, he was a single parent, going back and forth between Delaware and Washington, rushing home to be with his kids. It was hard to afford childcare. So this is real for him. He's lived that struggle. And we're all very, very committed to making this the moment that this stuff happens. It's long overdue.
Right. I mean, I think it's so important to include, you know, the jobs numbers tell us that women and particularly mothers are the hardest hit in the economy right now. I mean, it's crazy the numbers that we're seeing. I think it's actually probably worth you getting into, but also important to remember that there are fathers, there are grandparents who are caregivers, there are non-traditional families. And to make sure that we also include them in the conversation too, I think is really important. I think it's important to balance, because women and mothers are getting so hard hit, but also we want to be inclusive of other families. But actually, can you tell us a little bit about the economic numbers that we're seeing of women in or not in the workforce right now?
Mm-hmm. By the way, you're absolutely right. I mean, lack of childcare, lack of jobs, et cetera. This is hard on families, men and women alike, moms and dads alike. So we don't want to diminish that. Having said that, just the facts are that women were hit harder. More women dropped out of the labor force than men. We still have about 2 million women who are not back in the labor force. If you compare today to the beginning of 2020, that's disproportionate to number of men who are out of work. Women were clustered in the industries that were hardest hit. You know, if you think about retail workers, waitresses, hotel workers, these are the folks that got put out of work, and that's where women were clustered. And also, the fact is, women still do disproportionately do the caretaking. And, you know, when schools close or childcare closes, more often than not, it's the mom that has to drop out of the labor force. So it's a huge issue, the likes that we've never seen before, certainly in my lifetime. And and we have to be real about it and meet the need.
So because it's the sectors that were primarily staffed by women that were the hardest hit, does that actually make you optimistic for coming back, for like the jobs coming back?
I would say yes and no. A lot of the jobs that went away, the economy is changing. And a lot of the jobs that went away, say, for example, in retail and brick and mortar retail, they maybe were going to go away anyway, slowly, and they might not come back as fast. So what we really have to do is be there for those women and people who were put out of jobs in industries that aren't going to come back, and make sure they can get retrained to get a better job, a job that they like, that's secure. When I was governor, I created an initiative called Back to Work Rhode Island. And we put 7,000 people back to work who had lost their jobs in COVID. And, you know, I talked to a lot of women who were bartenders or waitresses who lost their job, who kind of wanted a different job than being a bartender or a waitress. And so they got job training and they went and got a different job. They went to do human resources or software coding or customer relations in a fast-growing digital company. So I don't know that all the exact same jobs are going to come back, but I do know that the president and his team are committed to being there for every single person who lost their job, who has the guts to get retrained to go get a different job.
And we've gotten some great questions here through the chat on specifically two other pieces that are related to that: student loan forgiveness and broadband access. Are those pieces that are included?
The president's package calls for $100 billion investment in broadband, which is enough to make it so that every single American has access to high-speed broadband. And that is, I think it's necessary. It's as vital as anything else.
Well, Secretary Gina Raimondo, so great to have you on. Thank you so much for joining Moms Run the World. You are truly a mom running the world. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm Emily Tisch Sussman, your host, and talk to you next time, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Political Playlist. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Your Political Playlist, where you can see video of my interview with Secretary Raimondo and join us live to ask questions during future ones. For more from the Secretary, you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at SecRaimondo. Join us every week for smart but bite-sized conversations with women at the seat of power and activism. Subscribe, and if you like us, leave us a rating and comment to let others know. Talk to you next time. I hear and see stories about teachers who go above and beyond every day. From the teacher who wrote letters to each of her 300-plus students during lockdown, to the teacher that checks in on her students after hours, it's inspiring to see each of them rise to the occasion after an incredibly difficult year. So for Teacher Appreciation Month, I want you to nominate a teacher who has made an impact on your life or the life of a loved one. Head to the Your Political Playlist account on Instagram or Facebook and nominate the teacher so they can receive a shout out in a future episode. We all know that our teachers deserve our appreciation and respect every day for all the work they do to educate our children. So thank you to all of the amazing teachers out there. I look forward to hearing more of your stories.